Leviticus, verse 20 through verse 30, chapter 18. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife or defile yourself with her, and you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire of Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. Do not defile yourself with any of these things, for by all these things the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep up my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of you or your nation, or any stranger who dwells among you. For these abominations the men of the land have done, who were before you, and thus the land is defiled. Lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it was vomited out by the nations that were before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore, you shall keep my ordinances so that you do not commit any of these abominations, customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves by them. I am the Lord your God. Let's bow our hearts. Father God, we just thank you for your word, and Lord, we just ask that you will continue to speak through the message that is given this morning, and that those who of us who are here will open our hearts and our minds to your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Which many of us may have heard this quote, Billy Graham quoted saying, "If God doesn't soon bring judgment upon America, he'll have to go back to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah." This Billy Graham said probably 15 or 20 years ago when he made that statement. Based on our text this morning, I believe this country, America, has met the criteria, if you would, for God's judgment. As Billy Graham points out, he felt the same way at that point. So what will judgment on America be like? Well, I guess I'll back up. I contend that God is already judging America. So that kind of opens up the question, if this is God, or is God has started his judgment on America, what's it going to look like, or what does it look like? Or and the other question is, as Christians, how do we fit into God's judgment upon this nation? Will we face persecution? Will we face trials? Will we be part of God's judgment? And the second question is, as God, if it's true, if God is judging this nation, how are we to respond? What are we to do as Christians? Right? Are we to sit back and watch it, or are we to do something? You know, I'm not a prophet in the sense that I've direct vision or word from God, you know, thus saith the Lord concerning this, but I am a prophet in that one of the other meanings of a prophet is that one proclaims God's word, and I think God has plenty evidence in God's word to give us insight and understanding of his judgment upon nations, the criteria for his judgment on nations, and what we can also expect as Christians in this time, or a time of judgment upon a nation that we live in. In our text, verse 24, God spoke and says, do not defile yourself with any of these things, and that was with the things that we read prior to verse 24. For by all these things the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For if the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. One of the things you notice from that, when God says he visits the punishment of iniquity upon it and land vomits its inhabitants, we see, first of all, that nations that allow the things that we saw previously listed are openly responsible as a whole. In other words, any time a nation allows sin or sinful acts to become normal, to be accepted or allowed, then it is being held responsible by God as a nation. And that's not to say that even within the nations there are not remnants or those who are doing the right things, who are righteous and not being a part of it. But as a whole, when a nation and its leadership allows such things, then the nation will be held responsible, as we see throughout Scripture. But my focus really is not so much on the sin itself. That speaks for itself, but we'll touch upon it a little bit here in a minute. But what is God's punishment? Iniquity is upon it, and the land vomits its inhabitants. What does that mean if we are, as a nation, truly being judged by God because that we have leadership that are allowing such things that we have seen in that list there? I think we all stand for that, or all see that within our own country, and acceptance of it, even within the laws allowing such things. What is God saying when he says, I will punish it of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants? How's that going to be translated to us in this country? We find a lot of examples of nations that has defiled itself in the Scriptures. In our text, the sexual perversion and sacrifice of children on a false gods of Molech was certainly a great abomination to God. As verse says, none shall approach anyone who's near of kin to uncover his nakedness. It's interesting, various interpretations of what uncover their nakedness means. It depends whether there's a liberal interpretation of, or I guess a more conservative interpretation. Of course, one is that of intercourse between those listed, but some tried to soften it and say it was speaking of unlawful marriages between those people listed between the kin and so forth. I think if you look at other scriptures, we find what that really means. Of course, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. We see that defilement going on in our own country between both sexes. And I don't think we need any interpretation there. And verse 21 may not be as clear if we don't know the history. It says, you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech. Not shall you profane the name of our God, I am the Lord. Here is where the various countries who worshipped the God of the sun, they would take, they had a brass statue that they heated up with fire, and then people would bring their babies, children, and place them on the arms of this statue, which was scorching hot, and this was what they were talking about, passing through the fire. And if the baby rolled off and did not fall or die upon that altar, then they were considered that their families would be blessed from then on. Of course, many would not survive such a thing, and that sounds so horrific and terrible, which it was. But it also speaks of God's love for children, and that how he considers that such an abomination. And I think in our own country, we look at certainly the sexual perversion, homosexuality, bestiality, but I think the most horrific things is that of the unborn babies in our countries that are dying by the hundreds of thousands every year. We can certainly see why God would want to pass judgment upon our nation. Verse 24, God says, do not defile yourself to these things, for because I will punish you. And so, iniquity of the nations, it's interesting that how God judged various nations. We know Genesis 15, God made a statement to Abraham, before he was called Abraham. He says, chapter 15, verse 13 through 16, says, then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. And that was, of course, as they go to Egypt, and as we have read through Exodus, and God delivered them out of that nation. This was after 400 years. And also the nations whom they serve I will judge after, they shall come out with great possessions. We know that, of course, that came about. Now as for you, God speaks to Abraham, you shall go to your father's peace, and you shall be buried in good old age. But in the fourth generation thou shalt return here, for the iniquity of the Ammonites is yet not complete. And what God was saying there, that there evidently was the part of why Abram did not conquer the land that he was in, was the fact that God was not ready to, because he says the iniquity or the sin of the Ammonites had yet not been complete. In other words, this gives us a picture that there seems to be a point where God will allow countries and the people in these countries, if you would, to turn and repent and give them chance. God is slow in his anger, but there is a point, a turning point, where God will ultimately pass his judgment. And we know even in Genesis 6, where God saw the judged the whole world at that point, and spoke with Noah. It says, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent and thought of the heart of only evil continually, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. And of course we know God brought about the flood. Again, things come to a point and God then reaches his judgment. Again, Sodom and Gomorrah, that we mentioned that in Billy Graham's quote, Genesis 18, verse 20 says, and the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because of their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it, and it has come to me, and if not, I will know. And again, this is where he was talking to Abraham before they go down and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And I guess that leads us to the point, has America reached that point? Has America got to the point where God has truly had enough and it's done with it? He's going to pass his judgment. And then what is that? What is the judgment? Is it total annihilation? Wipe us out? What is in store for us? if you look at the various scriptures and what where we looked about the iniquity upon the land vomits out the inhabitants, and what does that really mean? Or in other words, how does God judge nations, right? How does he pass his judgment upon nations? We know in Deuteronomy, but the cities of these people which the Lord God gave you an inheritance, and this is speaking of to those who, as they go into the promised land, and you remember the Ammonites that God said to Abraham, you know, they're not yet reached that point of my judgment. Well, here's the point after that, right? As the people come into the promised land, this is what God declared. It says, but the cities, the people which the Lord your God give you as an inheritance, you shall let nothing that breathe remain alive, but you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittites and Ammonites and Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, the Ites, just as the Lord your God has commanded you, lest they teach you to according to all the abominations which they have done for their God and your sin against the Lord your God. In other words, like Sodom and Gomorrah, they had reached a point when the people came into the land of Canaan, God says, I want you to wipe out all these people who are here completely. Leave nothing. And of course, we know why. Because at least they teach you to do according to all the abominations. And as we'll find as we continue to read through the Bible this year, we'll see that Israel did not completely do that, right? They only partially obeyed God there, and it came back to backfire upon them. And ultimately, that's part of why they were struggled in their own lives of having abomination, and God, in essence, passed judgment. So is that only remedy for God is to wipe a nation that he judges completely out? I see that we also have this, but in Romans 1:4, Paul wrote that God also gave them over to uncleanliness in their lust and their hearts, and dishonored their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In other words, what Paul is saying is that part of God's judgment, whether that is not the complete judgment on a nation, but God will also give over the people to their own desires. In other words, if they get to a point, God says, he takes his hands off and says, if this is what you want to do, go to it, because this is, and you're going to reap your own, you'll reap your own outcome of what doing all this sin. And I think, at least at this point, where I say God has already started his judgment, we start to see that in this country, I believe, is God kind of left his hands off of, he's given us over to our own sins as a nation. And we see that people just almost have no limits, no stopping of what they're doing in their sin. Does that mean that's all that God will do? And we'll just, and we see a history example. Rome, for one, was one who was a very powerful country and when Jesus' time, but eventually what they did, they destroyed themselves within, right? They got corrupt and their leadership, and then ultimately they killed, their nation destroyed itself. Is that our judgment upon America? God will give us over to our own sin and we will just destroy ourselves. Is God going to bring about annihilation, have people come and take us over, or you know, a bomb? All these things is a possibility. The point being, we don't know. One of the recent things, and I don't know if you've heard recently about Haiti, what's going on in Haiti, the country Haiti. In this past week or week before, I'm not sure which, they have killed their president. Gangs have basically taken over the country. They've emptied their prisons and jails. Gangs are basically running the country, and great violence. The people there, they're certainly missionaries that are there. They're actually the ones, the missionaries that are still there, are in actual armed compounds to protect themselves. And they're talking about how violent it is. People are starving because of this complete chaos. In other words, that country has completely collapsed, and it's just nothing but chaos. One of the things that's interesting about that, they are steep in voodoo in that country, and they have been for many, many years. And this country, you can look at its history, it's always been, for the most part, just never been able to get straightened out. It's always had upheaval and unable to stay afloat in the leadership, and basically starvation, and they've had earthquakes and of course hurricanes and great destruction within that country over and over and over. What is interesting, if you look at where Haiti is, it's actually a big island. And split down the middle of, basically, Haiti is the Dominican Republic country, which is a very prosperous country, which is, you could go there, is very much a tourist destination. People go there quite a bit. And so this Caribbean island is split out. One who has steeped in voodoo and great sin of has never prospered, has never done anything, gotten itself out of trouble. So all that brought about, it's a good, great example of God's judgment upon a nation and its sin, not necessarily destroying it directly, but allowing it, if you would, to destroy itself. And so when it comes down to our country, I have no insight of whether somebody's going to take us over, or if we're going to get bombed, or if we're going just to destroy ourselves as a nation. I can't tell you. But I do know that we as a country, if not already on that tipping point and already tipped over to be God's judgment, we are very close, right? And I guess that comes back to one of the questions I had earlier. What does that leave us as Christians? First of all, what happens to us? Will we suffer through that? God is judging our country, what will we see? What will we endure? I think Scripture is also full of the fact that God usually takes care of his own. Even in Israel, as you remember, when the Babylonians took over Israel because of their sin and their disregard for God, the faithful God, in essence, took care of them, even though they were sent to in captivity. Daniel, for example, we know that even though with that captivity, he somewhat prospered, right? Even though he was removed from his own country. Look at God's great judgment on their world, right? He delivered Noah, who was faithful to him. And then, of course, among the Hittites and Amorites that we just talked about, and then Rahab was delivered because she was faithful to God, right? In fact, she's in the lineage of Christ himself. Nineveh, where Jonah went to preach, and they turned and repented. So there, to say that for us as believers, there's certainly nothing for us to fear in the sense of, yeah, we may have to suffer in the sense of if our country is basically destroys itself, well, we may suffer to some extent. But the point is that God will take care of us. I truly believe that. If this country gets to a certain point, at some point, I think that God will bring about the rapture of the church. Whether he does or not at that point, I think God, we can be confident God will take care of us and look after us. The other hope is this: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive them sin and heal their land. That's 2 Chronicles. We as believers, his people, if we will humble ourselves and we will pray and seek God's face, maybe God will turn from his judgment on this country. But that means that we, in turn, will have to do our part as believers, and that we need to be the people who showing and declaring the truth of Jesus Christ in a country that has turned its back on God. And it's tough. You know, we live in a time and a place where God has turned their back. This country has turned its back on God. And to talk to people that don't want to know anything about God, it's tough for us. But we need to realize that God is worth it. He's worth our sharing to others and to bring people to know the truth of Jesus Christ. That's really our only hope for people in this country, one way or another, whether God judges us harshly or not. But I think we have a responsibility as believers to stand strong and be faithful, just like Daniel stood strong even in his persecution or the persecution of Israel. Be faithful like Noah and obey God and do what he asks us to do, even during tribulation within our own nation. So it's nothing to look down or feel bad about in one sense that, you know, I mourn in one sense that, you know, we don't have the country we once had as we had grown up to. Of course, a lot of that times we make it more so better than maybe it actually was, but ultimately we certainly see our country have fallen and gone less to what it ever was. But we still need to keep hope and understand this is not our home anyway. This is just a place we're sojourning. We're only here for a time. And our ultimate home is in heaven, where we don't have to worry about that, right? Amen. Let's have a word.